Hey, this is Jason Marsden. You might have seen me on SpaceGuysToSpace.com. You're listening to Geekcast Radio.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass here, and you've made the great escape into comics by jumping inside the pool bag today.
You'd better be wrong, Jor-El. You'd better be dead wrong.
Hello, folks. It is I, TFG and Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network. You are listening to The Pullbag. This is episode 573. Yes, I know we're late with this, but Dave McElvenny and I recorded this sometime in 2024. I don't remember exactly when. This is a new series for the comic book podcast here on the Geekcast Radio Network. It's called, what is it called? CICC. Characterizations in Comic Characters. And basically what this is going to be is we look at one single character, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, etc., etc., etc. Per episode, we look at their history, we look at their greatest moments in stories, we look at some of their not-so-great moments in stories, and we just have a fun discussion on that character. And to debut it, Dave McElvenny and I decided to go with the Boy Scout himself, the American alien, the Kryptonian survivor, Superman, a.k.a. Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter at the Daily Planet. So, this is a test run, folks. I don't know if we're going to continue this. I wouldn't sit here and beg for feedback, but if you like this, email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. Let us know if you want me to do more of these episodes or not. Thank you for listening all these years. The Pullbag is about to celebrate 12 years online in March, so that is awesome. And just have fun reading comic books, folks. That's all there is to it. When you're reading stories, just have fun with it. Make your great escape into comics and jump inside the episode right now with me, TFG and Mike, and Dave McElvenny. It's going to be a super discussion all about this characterization in a comic book character for Superman. Da-da-da-da! Wait, I don't think that's the right thing. Anyway, on with the show.
Martha? Martha?
Shh, you'll wake him.
Whoa, Martha, what are you doing? Put that thing back. We don't know where it came from.
He's not a thing, Jonathan. He's a baby. A little baby. Who would put a baby in a spaceship?
That's just my point. Could be Russian. A Sputnik baby.
Oh, really?
Maybe he's one of ours. You think NASA's missing a kid?
I don't care where he came from. All I know is he needs us, Jonathan. Look how he's reaching out to you.
Cute little fella. Got a good grip, too. Ow! Ow!
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 573, and I have no idea when this is going to come out, folks, because as of this recording, we haven't even released episode 562 or 63. So we're 10 episodes ahead, not really, but I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and returning is the Super Dave himself, Mr. David McElvenny. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Pretty good. Pretty good. And just like when we started the Origins, 30 questions all about comic reading 11 years ago, almost 11 years later, I want to add something new to the podcast besides the origins, the reviews of comics, and what can we add? Well, how about character studies? Now, comics and character studies and people on the internet that do all kinds of film studies and character, they've all been done before, so this is probably nothing new. It's just our opinions on this stuff or kind of doing, going through the history and saying what stories we don't remember everything else. And with Dave being as knowledgeable as he is, notice I didn't use the term ancient, I used knowledgeable, there's probably not going to be any shortage, because that's the short end of the stick, folks, is me, because I know half of nothing, or less than nothing, about Superman when it comes to comics. Superman to me is Christopher Reeve, it's the cartoons, it's the TV shows. Some TV shows are better and worse than others, kind of thing. But basically, this is launching the new thing here inside the Pullbag, the characterizations in comics characters, so CICC. We will highlight one comic character per podcast episode, go over their history in brief, talk about how many writers and artists have created for said character,
and then go through some of that character's best and worst moments in comics. So that's the plan. Flying by the seat of my pants on this one, folks, because outside of, is it Romita Sr. or Jr.? And he's the artist, isn't he? He's not the writer. Yeah, see, folks, I am just dumb when it comes to Superman, unfortunately. When did you first pick up a Superman book?
It's so long ago. I don't know if I could narrow it down specifically, but probably about 4 or 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I really have very little memory of not seeing comic books of any sort before that. Maybe I did. You know, definitely by the time I was ready to go to school or, you know, in kindergarten, I knew I was reading. And third was
part of that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, for me, I don't remember a lot of it. I should clarify this, folks. When I say comics or characters in comics, whatever, we are going to be specifically talking about specific characters or specific people that were those characters. So if I said Superman, which I did, most people are going to assume Clark Kent, not any other version. But I do have in parentheses here for the title of the podcast to clarify Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, Batman, eventually Tony Stark, Iron Man. There have been other characters that have played the title roles. I think outside of Wonder Woman, I don't think anybody else has been. That's not a thing. At least I don't think it is. So, but yes, specifically Clark Kent, Superman, it's Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, right? Or did I get the names mixed up?
You got them right.
Okay, good. They created the man back in 1938. And the origins of this character, Last Son of Krypton. Oh, boy. What is your defining characterizations? For you, when you look at a Superman comic, what does that comic have to have for you to really be like, this is a Superman comic, I want to continue reading?
Well, for me, just overall, as far as Superman's character, link it to that, it's, you know, he does what he knows is right. You know, there's Elliot S. Magan famously wrote in Miracle Monday that there's a right and a wrong in this universe, and the distinction is not very hard to make. And that's his North Star, if you will, for Superman. Superman sees what's right and does whatever he can to make sure things, you know, that he's doing the right thing. Now, you can argue about what the right thing is, but, I mean, if you go back to Superman's origin in the late 30s, mm-hmm. basically the champion of the oppressed.
Yeah.
Was, you know, during the Depression, the world was preparing for war. Superman was doing things like making sure that wrongly convicted people did not go to the gas chamber or electric chair. He, you know, would break up wars by forcing dictators to fight each other physically rather than send young men to die in a war. He would tear down the slums and rebuild decent housing for people. He was always looking out in those days for, you know, the little guy who didn't really have any power, which is probably, you know, top of mind for, you know, a couple of Jewish kids in Cleveland in the late 1930s. I'm sure they didn't have a lot going for them and wanted a champion to stick up for
them. Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's a through line for a lot of Superman's character, is he's always trying to do right. I mean, I remember reading stories over the years, especially you would see them in the Silver Age, of, like, they used to call them imaginary stories. Now the Elseworlds kind of thing, mm-hmm. where they would imagine Superman in some different reality.
Yep.
Where, you know, he was found and raised by, you know, a criminal. Or he, you know, his rocket landed in Africa and he was raised by apes and grew up kind of like Tarzan. Or even later on when you read Superman Red Sun, where he lived in Soviet Russia, you know.
Yeah.
No matter what sort of environment he, you know, he's found in, at some point in the story, he becomes a recognizable to us Superman, where he's not going to, you know, fight to conquer or fight to oppress people, take away their, you know, human rights. He's, you know, even if that's the way he's been brought up in some different society, at some point in the story, he usually has some revelation of, well, wait a minute, why would I be doing this? I have all this power, I should be helping people.
Yeah.
To me, that's who he's helping.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is, I was looking through the Geekcast Radio Network, the pullback history here for hope is the best thing I can look to say, but yeah, Superman and the pull bag have not gotten along. Because when I started the pull bag 11 and a half 12 years ago, I figured, okay, I like Batman, I like Superman, but there's too much there. And at that time in 2013, we were two or three years into New 52. And I didn't at the time, and I can always go back and change my mind on this, folks, but I wasn't really excited about New 52 Superman at the time. I don't know what it was. I just wasn't my thing. But we do have through there should be four, but I'll tell the story why there isn't four in a minute. But we have three episodes of the pullback dedicated to Superman so far. And unfortunately, we started off on the Frank Miller foot of the DC Black Label Superman Year One, issues number one and two. So the story behind that and why my buddy Joe and I never finished with that third issue is because I saw the solicitation for the first two issues of that. I thought were cool. Oh, this is a different Superman origin. Again, you can have different writers do different origins, all that fine thing, whatever, as long as the character, you know, has similar, you know, whatever to each incarnation, as far as his morals and personality go. So we got to the first two issues, and I'm like, okay, this is cool, this is interesting, this is fun. I read the solicit for the third issue. DC Black Label Superman Year One, number three, written by Frank Miller. I forget who the artist was off the top of my head, but written by Frank Miller, issue number three. We're gonna go to Gotham, and we're gonna bring Diana in, so we have the Holy Trinity. And I just immediately said, sorry, Joe, we're not finishing this. And I never, not even if a comic is bad and I don't like it, I will usually finish it. Because they were I felt that story was Superman's. You can tell a three-issue, especially those Black Label books that they were doing, they were only three issues. You can tell a full-on Superman story without having to bring in the other two of the Trinity. You know, like, oh, God, and I mentioned to my buddy Joe the other day, I said, you know, maybe we should really finish that stuff at this point, because it's been years since we covered that. And then earlier this year, we did episode 552. 52, folks, get it? DC, yada, yada, yada. Ha, ha, ha. We did Superman Unchained, which was the Scott Snyder story. And the reason why I wanted to do that one was because I had already read all Scott Snyder's Batman. I want to see how he handled Superman, I think. From what I remember from that episode, my buddy Ryan and I, we liked it, but it was a nice little one-off. It was never an ongoing kind of thing. So that's kind of my history with Superman comics, as far as that goes. Everything else has been movies, TV, cartoons, etc. So I'm doing this specific one to see if we have... Maybe I'm going to go back and read some Superman comics at some point. I don't know. What is your... Okay, let's see. Follow the thing I set out here. The man has had a very varied history since 1938-39 when he debuted. And he's gone through a whole lot of stories. 57, no, it's like, what is this, over 75? Is it 75 years? Jeez.
Longer than that.
Yeah, I'm doing the math. 1930.
I have 86 years at this point.
86 years. It's 80, almost 100. Close to 100. Yeah. 86 years of Superman, folks. So you said as long as his main part of his character is he's always doing right. So do we think because I mean, most babies don't that get, you know, sent to Earth from a different planet and don't really have time to does Jor-El and Lara have any impact on his character in the way he is, or is it all Jonathan and Martha?
Well, that's, you can argue back and forth depending on what stories you read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the origin story back in 1938, he was essentially an infant when he arrived on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go later on in books, in the Silver Age, he was probably a little older than that, probably a toddler.
Okay.
When Jonathan and Martha found him. So in most Silver Age stories, he has some memory of Krypton, and he has some memory of Jor-El and Lara.
Mm-hmm.
So in some of those stories, because again, it depends on where you know, what time period you're looking at.
Yeah.
In some cases, you can say, well, it's the innate goodness of his parents that is coming through in him.
Right.
In fact, in one Bronze Age story, there's a story where the guardians of the universe, who run the Green Lantern Corps, they decide that either Jor-El or Lara would have made a good Green Lantern. And so the mixture of those genes, they see Kal-El, mm-hmm. would, they thought, well, we could make him the leader of an independent Green Lantern Corps just based on his genetic heritage. And then once he got sent to Earth and they became Superman, they decided, well, when the universe gives you a Superman, you don't turn him into a Green Lantern. You let him be a Superman. But that story sort of implied that a lot of his innate character came from his parents.
Yeah.
But also, you've got to look at it as he grew up in Smallville, you know, with mm-hmm. John and Martha, and in a lot of the Superboy stories in Silver Age, they're, you know, helping him through his early years as a young superhero and giving him guidance as to, you know, what's wrong. Maybe you think that way, this way. So you can kind of lay it either way. You can say it's genetics, you know, it's nature or nurture, genetics or how he was brought up, or, you know, I kind of think of it as a combination of both. There was obviously some innate goodness in him, but, you know, Jonathan and Martha Kent obviously helped that along as they were raising
him. Yeah.
You know, you can really look at it however you want. A lot of, you know, I think a lot of the later stories that I've only read about rather than read, give you kind of ever popular dark and gritty Superman. You know, I don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
That's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
He's definitely a good guy.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, unless, what is it? Blue, yellow, red, I forget which one changes him.
Oh, the kryptonite?
Yes.
Usually the red kryptonite.
That's what I thought. Like, yeah, generally he's a good guy unless he's got red kryptonite poisoning somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's Silver Age silliness, but I...
No. I mean, look, you know, you can't... Yeah, you say it may be Silver Age silliness, but that's what it was. It's like, you know, okay, well... The green kryptonite kills him. Well, Krypton was made of other parts or other whatevers. Let's see what happens with other colors. Like, you know, I mean, that's like the Lantern Corps. Again, going back to them. It's not just Green Lanterns. It's Yellow Lanterns. It's Red Lanterns. It's Orange Lanterns. It's Indigo Lanterns. It's like there's a color for everything. So, you know, this is what it is. But yeah, and I don't know. I never had an interest, and I don't know if there's any comics that could be recommended to me to make me have an interest. It was never interesting to me to have him on Krypton. Like, the point of the interesting part of the story is that this is a baby whose parents are trying to save him by shipping him off to Earth. That poor soul. To, you know, escape the exploding planet, because the planet's going to explode and they want to save their son. So, yeah, obviously the story mainly is going to be with Earth and with the Kents and everything else. The funny thing for me is I never had an interest in the Superboy part of it. It was always he lands, you see him, you know, pick the truck up in his red underwear. I'm specifically meaning the movie.
It's, you know, similar to what you'll see in a lot of the early comics.
Yeah, exactly. He picks the truck up. You got maybe a few little montage scenes. And the next thing you know, he's, you know, pushing his glasses up for the first time. And, oh, well, gee, Lois, I don't know too much about all that kind of stuff being from Smallville. and I'm not here. I'm not, like, I... What I've read of the character and what I've seen of the character in my lifetime in 44 years of me being on this planet, I love aspects of the character. The point of this is specifically for this episode is for me to learn and figure out what other Superman stories I may want to cover on the podcast in the future. But yeah, his character and his personality, like you said, at the end of the day, as long as he's doing good, as long as he's doing the right thing for all humankind kind of thing. What was your most, out of all the Superman stories you've read, what was the most interesting one to you?
Interesting you ask that, because one of my all-time favorite stories is what we used to call an imaginary story, where it's, you know, as they used to say, you know, this is a story that didn't happen, but maybe it will someday. It was the amazing story of Superman Red, Superman Blue, where Superman has, it starts out with Superman having a big list that he has made. He's been scolded by the people in the Bottle City of Kandor of, you know, you promised to expand our city to normal size and you've never done it. And there are all these other jobs that, you know, promised to do and you haven't done them, so maybe you should switch places with one of us and your replacement can do all these things. And so he's got this big long list. He wants to eliminate all crime and evil. He wants to get rid of all the kryptonite on Earth. He wants to enlarge the Bottle City of Kandor. He wants to do all these different things. And so he's like, I'm going to do this. This is it. And again, this is an imaginary story. Mm-hmm. So he like cobbles together this weird sort of helmet or crown, if you like, with all powered by all different colors of kryptonite. And he goes in this like glass box, and puts this thing on his head because it's going to make him like 100 times smarter than he is. And he'll be able to figure out all this stuff. And he puts this on and, you know, Supergirl's there with him and she turns the power on the machine. And very quickly he starts screaming in pain. And she's like, no, no, you gotta stop. He's like, no, no, keep going. We're gonna do this. And then, you know, the machine explodes and the dust clears and there are now two Supergirls. One of them, his uniform is essentially all red, and the other one, his uniform is essentially all blue. And they each have, you know, Superman's powers, but they are all, each many, many times smarter than the original Superman. So they decide, well, we can work together, and solve all the world problems.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's kind of what they do. They go and they build a set of orbiting satellites that emit an anti-evil ray. Because, of course, it's a silver age, so you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing, it eliminates all evil thought from everybody on Earth. And so now, all the criminals who are on Earth and all the bad people on Earth, they're now good. They want to do good things. Lex Luthor, he decides he's going to help. So he creates a serum that will cure all diseases. Like cure cancer, it cures his baldness, it cures, you know, whatever, anything that's wrong with him. And so he gives it to the Superman, and he says, just put drops of this in the water supplies all around the world, and it will cure every illness on Earth. You know, this is how powerful this thing is that Luthor has created. And like I said, it brings his hair back. So he does that. And once this happens, we see Supergirl letting everybody out of the Phantom. Superman's like, what happened? Did the evil ray work backwards on her?
Mm-hmm.
No. I realized that it will work on them too. So take them out of the Phantom Zone and they will be exposed to the anti. So they'll be good with their superpower. So they got rid of all the evil on Earth and all of the evil in Phantom. And Brainiac happens to come to Earth and it works on him. I'm not sure if it but it works on him, so he joins.
Interesting.
Superman, the two Supermen figure out how to enlarge the bottle city of Kandor. They also figure out how to eliminate Kryptonite. And basically what they do with the Kryptonite is they send it all back, they send it all back to the original location of Kryptonite. And in the process, it reverses the explosion that created the Kryptonite in the first place. So now there is this planet that's no longer radioactive, orbiting the red sun, where the sun was originally. And then the Supermen go and I think they take a rocket ship or something. And they plant plants from the bottle city of Kandor. So they recreate the ecosystem. And it turns out then that the people from the bottle city of Kandor, they've lived their lives in a Kryptonian environment inside the bottle. They want to keep doing that, but they want to do it at their normal size on their home planet. So he has a space arc. He, like, enlarges them all, he takes them back to Krypton, enlarges the bottle city on Krypton. So now there's this fully built city on Krypton and a full-size population for the city. So they're all back on Krypton.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
They've got that. And all these good things are happening. And then they decide, well, there's two of us, you know, there's Superman Red and Superman Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And our big question has always been Lois or Lana.
Oh, God. They each get one.
They each get one. So they have to decide who gets which one.
Oh, no.
So as you do, they take two steel girders and bend them into the shape of L's. So they've got LL.
LL.
Three important silver. And they go on top of a mountain during a thunderstorm. And what they decide is, whichever one has their elf struck by lightning first, gets first choice. Is that so romantic?
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. So, of course, as would happen, both are struck at the same time.
Of course.
Now how do we decide? And the one says, well, if I had had first choice, I would have picked Lois. The other one says, well, I would have picked Lana. There you go. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
They each get to marry the woman that they want. And it's a triple wedding because Jimmy Olsen and Lucy Lane get married too. So it's all three of them are getting married. So all this wonderful stuff.
Wait. Jimmy and Lucy got married to each other?
Yeah. Because they've been dating forever.
Oh, okay.
So now everybody's married off, all these main characters that have been, romantically thwarted for years are now all married. And they decide, the one Superman, I think it's Superman Red, decides, he wants to go back to Krypton. He doesn't want to be a superhero. He wants to be a regular Kryptonian.
Right.
Supergirl says, I'll go too. And Krypto and Comet the Superhorse decide to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Comet the Superhorse, of course, his powers are based on magic, not on Krypton. So they'll have some super being on Krypton just in case of emergency. So they all go back to Krypton. But the other Superman, Superman Blue, he decides he'll stay on Earth. Earth doesn't really need him because there's no more crime, there's no illness, da da da. So he just sends his robots out, to take care of emergencies that arise, accidents. And he devotes himself to the study of science, his mother, Jor-El. And he and Lois have a couple of kids, and they settle down. And on Krypton, Superman Red and Lana have a couple of kids. They Skype intergalactically or Zoom intergalactically with each other between Earth and Krypton. And that's it. Everybody seems to be living happily ever after, but the story ends with, so what do you think, reader? Who is happier, Superman Red and Lana or Superman Blue and Lois? But I just love that story because to me, it's the happy ending that everybody deserves.
Yeah.
I always say, whenever somebody brings up the whatever happened kind of tomorrow story that, was the end of that continuity before the John Byrne reboot.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just republished Superman Red. Everybody gets a happy end.
Yeah.
Because whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow, not a happy ending. many, longtime characters die horribly, including Krypto. Don't kill the dog.
Yeah, don't kill. What do you want to kill the dog for? Come on, man. Don't kill the dog. That's ridiculous.
That just reinforced my love of Superman Red and Superman. I like that story better. Again, that's my opinion. I know a lot of people like the other story better. Everybody gets to decide what they like.
Well, and again, I mean, that's why I had you here, was because, to give your opinion, and it's fine,
people can... I have strong opinions.
Don't we all? Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. No, there is no wrong opinion. There's just smellier ones than others. for me with it, now looking at Superman Red and Blue, I'm like, oh, that's where those Funko Pops come from. They come from the modern story, the 1998 story.
Yeah.
Because I kept seeing, I'm like, oh, that's cool. They repainted Superman, not thinking, oh, right, it's not just Funko repainting the Funko Pop. It's them making an homage to something, which is really cool. And again, I think I want to read that the original Silver Age story, even though those colors are, they're a lot.
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of Silver Age because that's when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But even I will admit, some of the stories when you read them, you just go, what?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the same thing I did with the Marvel Transformers issues from the 80s, What? Why are you... Oh, yeah, no. And that's the thing. And I don't say that judgingly to the point of, oh, my God, that's the worst thing. It's just it's more confusion than being judgmental.
Yeah.
And it's how do they get away with that?
Oh, I'll be judgmental about some stuff too.
But well, yeah, but like
overall,
at this point, since I've never read any of these things, again, like I said earlier in the episode, the point is to see if there's stuff that I want to cover on the podcast in the future. But just seeing that classic, quote unquote, classic 1998 cover with the blue and white and red and white, just those are the red and blue super, like. And then looking at the small little image Wikipedia has for the original Silver Age story you just synopsized for us, I'm like, ooh, all red and all blue. And technically, that's not all blue, because if that was all blue, his S would be blue, not right. Red and yellow.
Oh, I think that was branding. I think he didn't want to mess with that symbol.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, nowadays, they might well do that, because there are so many different S symbols now.
Yeah.
Different characters. So okay, as long as it's the same, look, but you could vary the colors, that's fine. But back then, you didn't mess with that S shape. Because back then, it didn't stand for hope. It stood for Superman, or Superboy, or Supergirl. It stood for Super something.
Yeah.
Whether it was Super Dog or Super Horse.
Yep. I'm trying to see here, and obviously I know this is, I think I probably asked you this in your Origins episode, but I don't remember, it's been so long and I'm old. And yes, I know I'm not that old, but I'm old. I have brain damage, damn it. Leave me alone. Has there ever been a Superman story where they twisted his character so much that you just didn't want to read it, or do you read everything anyway?
As far as the stuff I grew up with, I would say no, there's never been a story, but there have been times where I've, especially more modern times, where I go, that just doesn't feel right to me. I remember when the John Byrne reboot came in, I would practically spit on the ground. Because it was like, this is not the Superman I grew up loving.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, and again, I understand it, because many people did not like the idea of Superboy. So one of the things he did was get rid of Superboy. I always liked the characters. Like, you get rid of him, I'm inclined not to like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not just for the character Superboy, but for other beloved set of characters for me, the Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
30th century superhero teenagers who were inspired by Superboy and who came back from the 30th century to the 20th century to prank Superboy and invite him to come to the 30th century. And, eventually had him join the Legion. So you get rid of Superboy, you really have to deal with what does that mean for the leading superhero. Didn't really like what came from that. And that's kind of my first take on reading a lot of Superman. I did read through the John Byrne reboot, but it was, I don't want to say it was hate reading, because if I hate something, I just won't read. But I wasn't enjoying the way I wanted. I got to give this guy a shot. And similarly, later on, because after that, I kind of petered out reading a lot of Superman. I would read back. But then when Brian Michael Bendis came along and everybody was leaving, he's doing a new version of Superman. And I thought, well, let me see what that's like. And I started reading some of his stuff, and it was okay for me, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
But he, as somebody explained to me, he writes for a long story. I grew up on comics where you could read three Superman stories in a week.
Yeah.
Whereas I read the first year of Brian Michael Bendis run, and I'm like, I'm 12 issues in and I haven't read a complete story, It's just this long, meandering, like, when is it going to get to the point? And eventually I gave up on that. Cause, like, this is not what I read comics. Again, yeah. You know, no shade to people who like that. But, So I can't say I got to the point where it's like, no, I can't stand this version of Superman. Or yeah. I don't really like this kind of storytelling. I don't think he's doing anything horrible for the characters.
Yeah.
On with it.
Yeah, I usually give writers one story arc. If they're only going to be there for one story arc, I will try their one story arc, which is usually six issues, and then I will try the next person's story arc, but usually after that seventh issue, if it's not really grabbing me, I'm like, and this is with any comic, this isn't just superhero stuff, but anything, like, you know, I'll give you a shot, but you especially with comics having to be monthly and have to get the monthly people coming back, you better do something in your number one or your number two issue that's going to make me want to stick with this the whole time. And if you don't, then I'm just going to respectfully move on to something else that I want to enjoy.
Yeah. I'm at the point now, partly because I can't put the investment in for, 12 or 15 or 20 issues before I get to the point of the story. But also, yeah. It's like, beyond that, I'm cheap. And so what I usually do, if there's something I think I might be interested in, I will wait until the trade comes out.
Yep.
And then go to my local library and see if they have it. At least I'm not spending a ton of money on a story that I don't know whether I'm going to like.
Yeah.
But also, I know if I pick up the trade, I can probably get the complete story.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting monthly, month after month after month. When is this going to resolve itself?
Yeah, that's the one thing I wish that the big two would have switched coming out of the pandemic. I wish, and I know that they'll never do this, that they'll still be selling monthly books long after any of us are gone. Kind of thing, but I wish that the pandemic would have done something to these two comic book companies to where, oh, we need to change this up. Let's start selling trade paperbacks. Let's start, instead of piecemealing month to month to month to have these people come back, let's give them the whole story. Let's write stories to be whole, collected edition stories kind of thing, and not worry about the month to month to month to month to month. And yes, I know that is a higher cost. That, let's just say, for, it's usually issues 1 to 5 or 1 to 6 if it's an ongoing, let's just say that's anywhere from $15 to $30 per trade per month. You're basically, I'm now seeing the flaw in this logic, because if you like more than just one character, then you're going to be spending a hell of a lot more money. But yeah, I don't know. It just, you're right. That's one of the, even, like, I've been waiting for the trade forever most of the time. Half the time when we cover comics on the podcast, it's in trade. I don't do single-issue reviews unless it's specifically something that, like, something like the DC Black Label stuff. They said these are just going to be 3-issue miniseries. Okay, fine. And I think the Superman one is the only one we covered, and we didn't even finish it, folks. So what does that tell you about DC Black Label? Oh, so you mentioned Byrne, you mentioned Bendis. Who would you say for you is your favorite? And I know I asked you this way back when, but like, looking at all of the writers, looking at everything that has been written with Superman and stories, who are your favorite storytellers when it comes to the Man of Steel, when it comes to the writers?
I would say probably very either at or very close to the top for me is Elliot S. Magan. I really like the stories that he wrote for the comic, but even beyond that, his novels. He had first one he wrote, Superman, The Last Son of Krypton, and then my favorite of his is Miracle Monday. There, novels, and they're not, like, if you just, at the time it came out, if you picked up Superman Last Son of Krypton, you would think it was based on one of the Christopher Reeve movies, because that's the picture on the cover. When it first came out, there was like a section in the middle of the book of photos from the movie. So if you weren't paying attention, you would think it was like a novelization of the movie, which it's not. It's a completely original story. It has nothing to do with any of the movies, but it's a really good story. That's one of my favorite Superman stories. And I think Magan, whether he's writing a novel or whether he was writing a comic book, he has a real feel for the character of Superman, but also for the character of Superman. I think he really understands each of those characters and the dynamic between them. Another one of my favorite writers, not so much for characterization, but just I'm a sci-fi fan, and in the 60s particularly, Superman was essentially a science fiction character. And if you want good science fiction superhero stuff, Edmond Hamilton is hard to beat. He is really good with science fiction. Totally different style than, say, Magan, but I think those two are probably pretty close.
Very cool, very cool. 86 years, there's a lot with any comic book character that's been around that long, but some of those Elseworld stuff, some of that stuff is interesting. Some of that stuff is cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can probably find stories that have Superman in just about any situation you can imagine, whether it's a in-continuity story or an imaginary or Elseworld story. Anything you can think of, you can probably put Superman in any kind of situation you can imagine. Get a good story.
Absolutely. Kind of like Dark Knights of Steel. Oh, my God. What is this? Oh, boy. That's a whole other... I don't know what they're doing over there at DC, but that was a story from 2012. Well, this is interesting. It says it was a 12-issue series that ended, but Wikipedia still has it listed as January 2022 dash. So they may go back to it at some point, I guess. I don't know.
Or whoever wrote the Wikipedia article.
Just never. Yeah, probably. That's usually how it goes, but... Who knows? Like I said, folks, this is a trial run here. I do know Dave is a huge Superman fan, as you can clearly hear. I have some ideas now of Superman stuff that I may want to cover in the future on the podcast. Clark Kent, Superman, go farm boy. I don't know. It just is. He's always been one of those characters that it's like, I'll get to it when I get to it. It's never, for me, it's never been about the comics and the comics that I've tried so far. Like I said, I remember enjoying the Scott Snyder Unchained series, the 9-issue series. But man, that Miller, oh, you Batman whore.
Yeah, to me, you can't treat Superman the way you would treat Batman.
No.
For me, again, growing up reading Silver Age stuff, I always will think of them as good friends. Mm-hmm. But they have really different approaches. Even though I have to say in the Silver Age, they didn't really have different. Superman and Batman were both smiley, happy people. I know a lot of Batman fans will find that astonishing. But the Adam West Batman didn't come out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, no, they didn't just pull it out of their butts, folks. They got it from the comics, and anything else you would like to say, anything you think we missed? Again, folks, like I've said multiple times, this is a trial run. Most people listening to this probably didn't think we gave enough time to Superman, but we've been recording for almost an hour, so Any final thoughts from you, sir?
Nothing particularly profound, but, you know, I think for anybody that doesn't really, that hasn't really explored the character of Superman, like you said, with, you know, 85 years of history, I think anybody can find a version of Superman. People my age tend to enjoy the stuff that I enjoy, I think.
Yes.
You know, Silver Age and stuff. And younger people enjoy later stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people could probably enjoy a lot of the early Golden Age stuff. It's a much more rough and tumble sort of Superman, but there's fun there, too. I mean, I think read Superman for fun, because he's mm-hmm. a fun character. Imagine if you could fly, and if you were in home, you would have a ball just flying around and knowing you couldn't hurt yourself. You know, even if forget, you know, oh, I would go rob banks or I would do this. You know, just imagine what an 8-year-old kid would think about this. Like, I could fly, and I could just like jump off a building, and I wouldn't hurt myself. It's fun. You know, there you can find fun in Superman. You're probably not looking at your faces.
Mm-hmm. So
that's kind of my general statement about Superman. And more particularly, as far as this podcast goes, if it's not good, it's more my fault than mine.
No, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. But again, the whole point of this is to explore the character that we can. And I said, like, I'm going to be inviting veterans of the character, people like Dave, who have read all 86 years, because, you know, he's just that ancient. And
or you can look for somebody who's as ambitious as Garth Wilson, who has probably read at least as much Superman as I have.
Yeah.
Even though he's considerably.
Yeah,
he's a completist.
That man and his, oh my God, I don't know how he does it. Like, I'm a machine when it comes to podcasts, and I can do, like, I'm in the middle of doing all kinds of stuff over on Studio 2009. We're releasing 31 podcasts for 31 days in December, but like, oh boy, his Superman reading, oh boy, wow. We did a whole podcast on it.
Yeah, he is amazingly dedicated. Once he decides to do something, he's going to do the very best, and the very most that he
can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks. I'm sure there's plenty I missed being the newbie here, but this, like I said multiple times in this episode, is a trial run. We can always come back to Clark Kent in the future and do an updated version of this, or I can just start covering Superman books at some point next year or the year after or whenever the heck it is. Coming up next here inside the pullback, I honestly have no clue, because like I said, I'm recording this 10 episodes ahead of where I'm supposed to be editing, so I have no idea what you've already heard in the podcast's lineage from 572 to 564. Going backwards, and then from 574 onward, I have no idea. All as I know is I have to get to episode 599 before the end of the year, because next year is going to be sporadic for the podcast for the first time in years, because we are going to be somehow right now I only have 58 days out of 90, but we're going to be doing 90 Nights in Nightwing, if I can find 40 more Nightwing trade paperbacks. So, yeah, coming up inside the pull bag, no clue, but I'm sure people will listen to it and like it. If you guys have suggestions, or I've got a couple of people that I'm thinking about with Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Iron Man, Tony Stark. Those were Batman, Superman, Batman, and Iron Man. Were the first three that I thought to do this little series within a series of four. So yeah, that's what's coming up here inside the podcast. You're probably going to get more Skybound, G.I. Joe, and Void Rivals crossovers from Jesse Early's podcast, Another Comic Review. We've been reviewing the Transformers, G.I. Joe, all the Skybound books over there, and I've been cross-promoting the G.I. Joe, specifically the miniseries, and probably the new ongoing that's going to happen in November. By the time you people hear this, it's probably way past that. But so, yeah. Okay. Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. And you can send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on Apple with Apple Podcasts, on Android phones with Spotify, and any other podcasting client you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the show, at The Pullbag for the podcast. I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You don't use Twitter, do you, Dave?
No, I don't.
No, okay, that's what I figured.
I didn't use it when it was Twitter, and I'm even less.
Less, yeah. I've got 16 years into that thing. I'm not, like, I'm ignoring all the drama, I'll say that. And I've said this recently on podcasts. I said that platform is like the biggest quickie in my life. Get in, post what you want to post, and get out. Whereas at least 10 and a half years ago, actually having conversations on that platform. Now, not so much. Here's the podcast. Listen if you would like to. Please do so. Yada, yada, yada. And then get the hell out and go find something else to do. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the Pullbag over there as well. Next time, as I said, I'm not going to say because I have no idea. It's listed as a Comic Origins episode, but I don't know if that's what's going to happen or not. So for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Dave. Michael
Bunny. As always, make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time.
What do you think of the name Christopher?
Now, Martha, let's discuss this.
Or Kevin?
Martha!
Or Kirk. I know. We can use my maiden name. What do you think of Clark? Clark Kent.
Yeah, yes, Miss Stevenson.
10 and a half years ago, we were actually having conversations. Actually, what the hell?
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullbag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
That man won't quit as long as he can still draw a breath. None of my teammates will.